teaching and preaching at Arena of Life Church and Ty Jones Ministry. We believe that you'll be blessed by this message you are about to hear.
Yo, I need a ticket. So we got 126. We need nine more. How many? Who's the ninth ones over here? Say, I ain't got a ticket. I'm going to get a ticket. Amen? I'll be here tonight. Anybody? All right, see some back here. All right. Just see an usher afterwards. It's going to be a great, great service. God's going to do a mighty thing in men's lives. Oh, you know, you just saw a little short, very, very short video. It's going to be longer than that, of Mike's ministry. And, you know, maybe you have someone very close to you. Maybe it's a family member. Maybe it's a friend that's spending time in prison. Or maybe you yourself have been incarcerated for something. And, you know, that's a very unique ministry. You know, Mike's been here for the last 3 days, all day long and every night, going out to the Clements and Neal units. Well, they've had services. God's been doing some mighty things in those men's lives. But, you know, they have not taken up one offering. I've been to Mike with Mike a few times in prison, and times when we put up the big tent and be maybe 1,000 men there, been in the gymnasiums there, maybe 300 or 400 men there. But I never saw an offering bucket. Mike is completely supported by you and I. See, you may not have the call to go into prisons. You may not be able to have time to go into prisons. But you can get involved in the ministry. And that's partnering up. And so, you know, the way I look at it, you know, when I sow seed into a ministry like Mike, I always sow into good ground. My tithes go to this church. A lot of my offerings go to this church. But there's certain ministries that I support because I believe in them. I believe they're honorable and trustworthy. And I believe they're doing their work for the kingdom of God. And so even though I can't go every weekend or every week to prisons and jails to pray for men and lead men to the Lord Jesus Christ, I can support those that do. And so my giving does that. That help goes on. You know, his ministry has expenses every single solitary day. And so we can do something this morning. We can sow into a ministry that's good ground. And you may not ever see your return in the spiritual side until you get to heaven. And then you begin to see some things you've sown into. See, seed is eternal, but it's also very temporal. So I'm going to believe with you here today. We're going to receive this offering just a minute. If you get ushers, come on down front. Oh, just make your checks to AOL. Every single solitary thing that comes in here on this offering here will go to Mike Barber's ministry. Every single solitary cent. And so if you want, there's other ways you can get involved. You can, I don't know, Mike has a mailing list or anything, but you can just Google Mike Barber Ministries and go.
Just MikeBarber.org.
MikeBarber.org. And you can see what's going on, where he's going to be at. But also, you can send an offering there from time to time as God leads you. So let's give a good offering this morning, all right? Father God, in Jesus' name, God, I pray, Father God, that every single solitary seed is sown, whether it be $1, $10, $1,000, whatever it is, God, I'm asking, Father God, by faith, that before the week's over, they'll see a 100-fold return. God, you say so, given it shall be given. God, I'm asking, Father God, not just for the eternal spiritual seeds, but I ask for seed to come back up. So God, bless the sowers. God, bless the seed as it goes into a ministry there. God, even when it gets into the ministry's account, God, I ask that it begin to multiply, that it would cause other seed to come in. God, bless Mike's ministry. God, strengthen his body, soul, and spirit. God, I pray, Father God, for an anointing on him this morning as he brings the word. They'll begin to break yokes in our lives this morning. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All righty. We'll go ahead and pass the buckets. It's going to be a good night tonight. Going to be a good night. Let me make a couple of corrections on the announcements while this mic gets ready to come. The women's conference in Clarendon, it's not April 19th and 20th. It's October. Isn't that right, Luann? October 19th and 20th. So that was on the screen, but I think Roger said October. It's October 19th, when it's just right around the corner. 2 weeks from this weekend, I believe. And my lovely wife will be preaching the Word of God there. So all you ladies, I mean, amen. Go out to Clarendon, Texas, 6 miles down the road to our sister church down there and support her and Pastor Buck and Pastor Amy and the ministry down there. So I don't think you have to sign up. It's free, isn't it? Free conference. All right. All right. Would y'all give Mike a big, big warm welcome? Tell him how much you love him. Amen.
Thank you. Can you hear me? Hear me on? All righty. Turn me on. I'm so honored to be here, and my wife and I, and it's been a little bit of time since I've been here. I've missed you guys. But as Pastor said, I've been here since Thursday morning, and just have had just an absolutely a wonderful, amazing time in both the Clements and the Neal unit. And let me just say this, if you're interested in prison ministry, you let me know or Pastor know, and two excellent chaplains, the Neal unit just completed their new chapel out there. They have a beautiful facility, and it's awesome. They just here in the last few weeks raised the monies for the new chapel to be built in the Clemens unit, and it will be completed, they said, most likely by this coming summer. And I can just tell you, it won't be a waste of your time. And they've got great leadership out there. They got wardens that love God, and they want ministry to take place. And I can tell you now, men, that you'll walk out receiving more than you gave, I promise you on that. Mike Barber Ministries, we're about to close out our 32nd year of full-time prison ministry. And I've spent enough time in prison over the last 32 years, altogether 38 years, the last 6 years of my career, that I can go ahead and rob a bank and have my time spent. Hallelujah. So, any of y'all know any bankers, y'all come up to me and whisper in my ear a little later. Amen. But tonight, men, I promise you. I mean, can I go ahead and say it? Just record the game and watch the two worst teams. The Cowboys and the Texans, the difference between them and a dollar bill, you can get 4 quarters out of a dollar bill. You understand what I'm talking about? I promise you, this evening I'm going to talk about learning our true identity. And I won't keep you long, I promise you. And I'm not long-winded. Hallelujah on that one. Amen. But I promise you, we'll laugh. We'll have a fun time. And I didn't come all this way to bore you. And like I always say, I've preached 8 times since nine times since this past Wednesday. I was in Huntsville, Texas, or south of Houston, I'm sorry, in a Darrington unit preaching Wednesday night to about 400 and something inmates, and then came here Thursday morning, and I've preached 8 times since I've been here, and I can't get enough of it. And I always started off, I told them every time, I said, now there's two things, and I have probably said it here before in the past, but there's two sins that should never take place when a speaker gets up to speak. And the first sin is for the speaker to bore the congregation. Can I get a witness on that? Huh? But now that second sin is when the speaker gets up to speak for the congregation to bore the speaker. I got to tell you the truth now. There's a few of you already bored me. These boots were made for walking now, I'm just telling you. I'm not tied to anything up here. I can come to walking. So you meet me halfway, and we'll have a good time, I promise you. And we'll be careful to give God all the glory and all the honor. And I want to speak this morning on the difference between methods and miracles. Our world today is full of methods. I'm talking about in this position, behind the podium. We're caught up in methods instead of believing for miracles. When God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen? And if I can, in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14, to just kind of build this up before we get to it. The second half of verse 14, and if it's okay with you, I'm going to read from the New Living Translation. Pastor, I didn't get your message till real late last night about getting the scriptures ahead for you for the church, so I apologize. I didn't get a chance to do that. But it says this in the last half of verse 14. It says, now he uses us to spread the knowledge of Christ everywhere like a sweet perfume. Amen? You want to know your purpose in life? Pastor's already said it. To worship him. We worship him, and when we worship him, what takes place? We glorify him. And our sole purpose is to glorify him. And it doesn't matter who we are. You don't have to have name recognition. That's a joke. You're as anointed as anybody if you have the faith to believe that and walk in that. And he says, now he uses us to spread the knowledge of Christ everywhere like a sweet perfume. Our lives, verse 15, are a Christ-like fragrance rising up to God, but his fragrance is perceived differently from those who are being saved and by those who are perishing. Verse 16, to those who are perishing, we are a dreadful smell of death and doom. I don't want to hear what you got to say. I'm happy where I am. I like the methods that I live by. I've heard enough messages that I can live my life the way I want to. We're all under grace. Careful with that. Be very careful with that. But to those who are being saved, we are a life-giving perfume. And who is adequate for such a task as this? We all are. I can tell you the last few days, I don't know what the count is. I'm not going to say what the count was, but I can tell you this as honestly as I can be. There was a minimum of over 200 men boldly asking Jesus Christ into their heart as their Lord and their Savior. And I give a tough altar call in prison. I don't want prisoners to raise their hand. I don't want them to stand unless they know they're going to come to church. They're going to be faithful in chapel service. Because you can't live for God not coming to church and getting involved in the fellowship. You can't do it. I don't care who you are. You cannot forsake the gathering. You can't do it. Verse 17 says this. You see, we are not like the many hucksters. Hucksters is somebody willing to earn a living anyway. Methods. Who preach for personal profit. We preach the word of God with sincerity. Guarantee your pastors do here. You can take that to the bank. And with Christ's authority, knowing that God is watching us. Chapter 3. Verses 2. The only letter of recommendation we need is you yourselves. This is Paul preaching to the church of Corinthians. You're the letter. You and I are a letter. What are you talking about? As you walk. Your lies are a letter written into our hearts. Everyone can read it and recognize your good work among you. The greatest language on planet Earth is body language. And what do you speak when you walk? Do you compliment the Word of God, or do you contaminate the Word of God? Our walk will always speak louder than anything we say verbally. I don't care how great of a preacher you are, a speaker that you are, but your walk will always speak louder. I told the inmates all weekend, you compliment this place or you contaminate it with your attitude. A's the first letter in the alphabet, you know that. The T's are number 20. The U is number 21. The I is number 9. D and E is 4 and 5. You put those numbers together, it's exactly the number 100. Attitude is 100% of life. Attitude changes atmosphere. My favorite word of all is the word atmosphere. Because of my walk, I do not allow atmosphere to change me. If it needs changing, I change it. Call that arrogant, call it cocky, whatever you want to call it. Personally, I don't care. I do not allow atmosphere to change me. Why? I'm a written letter. And the Bible says that the anointing would draw all people to you, not away from you. Amen? Verse 3 clears this. Clearly you are a letter from Christ. You got to know who you are. Come on, people. Preach to me with your eyes. I'm up here. Preach to me with your eyes. You're a letter written of Christ, for Christ, showing the result of our ministry among you. This letter is written not with pen and ink, but with the Spirit of the living God. It is carved not in tablets, but in our hearts. That's why Jesus says, I look at the heart. I don't look at the outward appearance. I'm a gold digger. That's what I am. I don't go into prison looking at people's dirt. I ain't here looking at your dirt. There's a bunch of dirt in here. What do gold diggers do? They go into a side of a mountain and they dig and they dig and they dig. They're not griping about the dirt. Why? They're focused on the gold. I'm a gold digger. I saw a friend of mine. I've known him. I won him to the Lord 40 years ago in prison. He's at the Clements unit. He's been in for 40 straight years. He's still on super ad seg because of the violence that he's done. He lives with shackles on his wrists and ankles. And the head warden who loves the Lord took those shackles off and brought him to me and let me spend about 2 hours with him. And what he's done is absolutely horrendous. I get hate letters. I've been threatened in the past to be killed. Bring it on. I ain't looking for people's dirt. I don't want you to look at my dirt. I found gold inside Ricky Smith. And he has loved the Lord for probably the last 30 plus years. On fire for God. But because of what he did, and to God be the glory, he's got a warden out there now that is ate up with God, loves God, and is going to work with him. You see, people that are caught up in methods, they look at people's dirt. The people that are looking for miracles, they see the gold in people. Are you with me? Yes. To God be all the glory. Amen. Chapter 4. And I promise you, we will be out on time. Amen? I can get a big amen out of that, right? You see, I'm interested in talking about followers of Christ. Followers of Christ are sold out to the miracle working of God. I don't use the word Christian anymore because I don't know what that means anymore. I'm a Christian. Today, you can live life the way you want to. You can drink yourself all you want to. You can live with somebody. You can live with the same sex. You can do whatever you want to, and that's okay. But now, I know what a follower of Christ means. A follower of Christ is one who still believes in the miracle-working power of God. We've all been through trials. I've been through a horrendous trial in my life. And I have every reason not to be in this pulpit, but here I stand. And giving God all the glory and all the honor, and our ministry today is stronger than it's ever been. I got more invitations all over this country than I've ever been. Have more wonderful favor having the leadership of the head of this state and other states calling me up now wanting me to meet with them and talk about advice and what are we doing different, what do we need to do different. And the state of Texas here has got the greatest leadership in the 38 years altogether I've been doing prison ministry. From the very top down all the way. In 2 Corinthians 4:2, it says this: we reject all shameful deeds, underhanded methods. We don't try to trick anyone or distort the word of God. We tell the truth before God, and all who are honest know this. It's what I love about your pastor. There ain't nothing tricky about it. Psalms 78:7 says this. So each generation, listen to this now, each generation should let its hope anew on God. We don't drift away from the miracles. If anything, we become stronger with the miracle work of God. So each generation should set its hope anew on God, not forgetting his glorious miracles and obeying his commands. Exodus 14:14, we all know this scripture. The Lord himself will fight for you, just stay calm. Man, I say that verse of scripture to myself just about every single day. Verse 1 of 2 Corinthians chapter 4 in the Amplified. Therefore, since we do hold on and engage. Now, what's this talking about? The chapters before is talking about the new covenant. That we have hope because of this new covenant. That we don't have to get caught up in methods of today's world. That we can still stand on the promises of God, the miracle-working God. God is still in the healing business, people. You're looking at a man right here, I was messed up, blood pressure, diabetic, and God has healed my body. And I give God all the glory and all the honor. So therefore, since we do hold and engage, do you hold and engage? Engage means do you get involved? Engage doesn't mean coming to church every so often. Engage doesn't mean coming to church every Sunday and that's all you do. Engage doesn't mean that you don't have to give. When you're engaged, you trust God. You believe God. You know that you can't outgive him. When you engage, it changes who you are. When you engage, it gives you purpose. I'm a man of God. I've got destiny. When you engage men, you become the leader God called you, wanted you to be. In this ministry, what ministry? You're a minister. If you love God with all your heart, you are in full-time ministry. So quit being a Secret Service Christian. Shh, don't tell nobody. In this ministry, by the mercy of God, granting us favor. Listen, when you engage, check this out. The Bible and the Message says, granting us favor. Anybody want favor? Hey, listen, I flew up here Thursday. They put the entire Clements unit on lockdown. But because of favor, the chaplain goes to the head warden, tells the head warden, "May I say something, sir? Mike Barber was supposed to be here for the next 3 days. They lifted the lockdown to allow me to come in there and preach the gospel. I don't care." That's the favor of God. Why? Because we are guilty of engagement. You don't see me, you can feel me. You can feel my presence. And that's what God is saying to you. When you engage, you will feel me. To God be all the glory. So in this ministry, that's your ministry. Whatever you do in life, when you go to work, that's your church. That's your opportunity, I should say, to minister the gospel. But only use words when it's necessary. Because let you walk, do the talking. When you're at work, you have a responsibility to take care of your business. But while you're taking care of your business, you can do it with that attitude that creates new atmosphere in people's lives. The difference between methods and miracles. When you engage, miracles take place. The miracle that I have witnessed, my wife and I have witnessed, just in the last 12 months, is absolutely staggering. Why? Because we are engaged to the end. There is no turning back. I'm getting happy. Granting us favor, granting us benefits. Hey, God is a good God. The Bible says that the eyes of the Lord go to and fro the whole earth, ready to support. Whose heart is completely committed to you? Come on, church. Are you committed? Are you a Christian? I'm going to say it. Are you a Christian or are you a follower of Christ? A Christian in today's world is a method believer. A follower of Christ is a miracle believer. You know where you stand. Benefits, opportunities, and especially, and this is my favorite, and especially salvation. Can I tell you something? All you cowboys in here, you know you don't put the cart in front of the horses, do you? Let me tell you something. If you want God to work in your life and do stuff, preach the message of salvation. And you watch, signs and wonders will follow. We got too many people, all they want to do is talking about the different things, the healing and all that is wonderful, and I believe in all of it. But I'm telling you, there's nothing greater of a miracle than the message of salvation. That you must be born again. Telling you, when you focus on salvation, all those hidden things in your heart for different ministry, it will explode. I'm more convinced. I'm 65 years of age now, and I've been in ministry for a lot of years, and I've listened to all these big names and respected them, and who am I to make a voice? I'm sorry, them days over with. I got a voice. And I don't care who they are, and there's a bunch of them. I won't name names. I'd love to get right in their face and say, when you start preaching about salvation, you watch what happens. When you engage, there are benefits. You get favor. You get opportunities. And you get the blessing of salvation. Amen? But then see the thing, you got to know you belong. You're God's creation. To God be all the glory. Amen? We don't quit. We never quit. We never give up. Those that are poor become rich. Those that are sick become well when you get engaged. Those that are weak become strong. Those that are bound become free. Those that are empty become full. Those that are hopeless become peaceful. I had an inmate yesterday tell me he's been there for 28 years. Never been to a service. And he came out. He said, I heard your name and da-da-da-da-da. Came out, and he gave his life to Jesus Christ. And he literally told me to my face, Mr. Barber, he said, I've been in here for 28 years. He said, I've been locked up every day. He said, but today I feel free for the first time. Money can't touch that. By the way, I have tried to take a few offerings up in prison. But I can't tell you what I got. Verse 2 says this, we have renounced disgracefully ways, secret thoughts of feelings. You see, that's people in ministry with methods. They've got a secret agenda. They're more focused on their table than they are their message. That's not today. That's not miracles. Desiring and underhandingly the methods that men hide through shame. We refuse to deal craftily, to practice trickery and cunning, or to adulterate or handle dishonestly the word of God. But we state the truth openly, clearly, and candidly. And that's who your pastors are. There's sometimes you may not like what they say, but I tell you what, it's straight from the word of God. Thank you for that enthusiasm. Verse 3 says this, but even if our gospel also be hidden, covered up, hindering the knowledge of God, it is hidden only to those who are spiritually dying and veiled only to those who are lost. Willfully denying the truth. Why are so many people today not interested in the truth? It's because of the watered-down message that is being preached today. And so it's created a very lukewarm, cold society. And you should be thankful that you can come to a church where the Word of God is genuinely preached. And not just genuinely preached, but genuinely lived. I've been around the block. I know what I'm talking about. To God be the glory and honor. Verse 4 says this, as I got to move quickly here. For the God of this world has blinded the unbelievers' minds. Live life your way. That they should not discern the truth, preventing them from seeing the illuminating light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, the Messiah, who is the image and the likeness of God. Tonight, men, we're going to talk about the first letter in the word identity is image. You and I were created to be the light of the world. And the Bible says that the light coming from Jesus illuminates all of heaven. And when we become followers of Christ, we partake of that light. And that's why our walk should change people's lives. A true follower of Christ makes people ask questions. Excuse me, sir, what's your name? My name is Travis. What's different about you? You're out here all around these horses and all these other cowboys, and they, you know, they got their language, but I've noticed you don't cuss. What's up with you? 2 years ago, I went hunting. And I went hunting with 4 heathens. They wanted to take me deer hunting. I was there for 3 days, and each one of them, for whatever stupid reason, they wanted me to hunt with them. And so when we got beside ourselves, and every single one of these 4 guys, when we got in the blind just to ourselves, every one of them asked me almost the exact same question. You would have thought that they got together and practiced what they were going to ask. Hey, Mike, notice you don't drink. Nope. You don't even cuss. Nope. Don't have to. What's the deal? I said, I'm in love with Jesus. I'm not in love with a denomination or a religion. I'm in love with Jesus. I have a relationship. All 4 of those men expressed to me, that's what I need in my life. But I'm too afraid to do it. There ain't no telling how many deer walk past our... Because all of a sudden, and every time, and I wanted to, I said, Lord, I came out here to shoot a buck. And he said, I got another plan. And I did my best to share Christ with every single one of them. Let me ask you a question. As I give God all the glory and honor for this. What's the chance of them asking me that question if they didn't see the true light? If I can humbly say that. What's the chance of them asking me that if I'm more of a man that says I love God, but I'm more tied up in methods than I am miracles? I think it's very slim. When I coached here a few years ago, I've put 3 kids in the NFL that played high school football for me. I had at least 80% of all the Division I head coaches in my office. When the head coach comes, you know they're serious. I shared Christ with every single one of those head coaches. And there was not a single one of them denied my words. If I had a private jet and if I had plenty of time, I got invitations from all those coaches to come and speak to their team. And I'd have done it, but I didn't have the time because I'm not going to let anything take me away from prisons. Come on, folks. It's time for you to get a hold of your life. Get you some boldness and make yourself understand who you are. You're not a piece of junk. You're special. You have a voice. Start walking. Not speaking. Start walking. A true walk with God, a true follower of Christ, the feet will speak for you, as I've already said. It will do that. You got to have confidence in yourself. And when you become this follower of Christ, until you do, you'll never conquer what we refuse to hate. Those who created yesterday's pains do not control the blessings of tomorrow. Those who matter don't judge you, and those who judge you don't matter. To God be the glory. An old man walked up to me a few years ago and he said, Mike, of all the things that I've shared with you, he's been a mentor in my life for a lot of years. He said, Mike, if there's anything I've ever told you, you listen to these words. He said, you focus on those who are focused on you and don't worry about anybody else. And he said, you'll eliminate the majority of your problems. And I said, praise God to that. Those who matter don't judge you. And those who judge you don't matter. Apostle Paul, Acts chapter 9, I think it is, Pastor. He's on the road to Damascus, is that right? Hated God's people. Amen? Hated God's people. But Jesus said, I think around verse 15, Jesus' own words, he's a chosen instrument of mine. So who are you to judge people? God has a way of taking the worst, using them for his glory. Everywhere he went, people hated him. But he had the ability to focus on Jesus and not worry about any of those. And if you've lived long enough in this world, you got enemies. I do. I got two men right now. I wish Jesus just turned his head for a little bit. Just like I told that guy on death row in Florence, Arizona, years ago, it got right in my face. You blankety-blankety Christian, when I haul off and hit you, are you going to turn the other cheek? And I told him, go for it. I hadn't read that far in the Bible yet. Amen. What you think long enough is what you connect to. And what you connect to long enough is what you become. That's why you should connect to this church. They should feel you and you should feel them. Just because something might be a little bit whatever, you stay connected. You stay connected. Devil wants you to think more about where you are instead of who you are. Amen? Devil cannot stop the promises of God, so he does everything to stop you. If your memory is bigger than your dream, you're going backwards. This is my favorite one. Your future becomes very jealous of how much time you spend thinking of your past. Listen to me as I stop. If y'all want to come up here and tickle this ivory like I taught you, well, just come on. You are a great student, by the way. I just want you to know that. You learn quicker than anybody I've ever taught. I just want you to know. I tried to teach Travis, but I gave up on that. Yeah. Just want you to know that. Yeah. Well, but we love him, of course. We have to. It's not a choice. We have to. Lord, heal him. I hope you've got something out of this evening, this morning. Men, let's close it out with one more verse of Scripture. We know it. The last verse in that chapter says, while we look, not at the things that are seen, but the things that are not seen. For the things that are seen are only temporal. But now the things that are not seen is for eternity. See, if you're wrapped up in miracles, you'll believe for the unseen. But now if you're wrapped up in methods, you're just focused on what you can see. God has a destiny for all of us. He has a purpose. And what we put into it is what we get out of it. So while we look, not at the things that are seen, but the things that are not seen. You know, I'm so blessed. I have a son. He pastors a church, inner city church, downtown Houston. Worst part of all of Houston. In the 3rd and 5th ward. 150,000+ inmates in the state of Texas, and over 1/4 in the entire state come from that one area. Such a joy. 70-80% of the church is ex-offenders. so awesome. So awesome to know that my ceiling for this prison ministry will be my son's floor. To take it greatly. You're in full-time ministry. And when you grab a hold of this, being a follower of Jesus, you are creating a ministry that your ceiling will be your children's floor. For them to take it and run with it. I'm this close saying, here, son, it's yours. And serve him as he pastors in prison ministry. I'll never stop doing prisons. But to let him take his vision and what God is telling him, how, and no doubt about it, it'll be different than the way I did it. But that's okay. Because I trust him, the Christ in him. Because I know he won't lose focus on the one thing, souls for the kingdom of God, the gift of salvation. If this is spoken to you today, you need prayer. Everybody stand to your feet. If there's a special prayer that I can pray for you about, Mike, I want to be this follower of Christ. I want to be this man. I want to be this woman of God. I want you to come forward. I want to touch you and pray for you real quick. Anybody come forward if I can pray for you. To God be the glory. To God be the glory. To God be the glory. If you don't really know that Jesus is the Lord of your life. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Everybody pray this with me, Heavenly Father, with all of my heart, with my mouth, I confess you. And with my heart, I receive you. Be my Lord, be my Savior. In Jesus' name, from the top of my head to the soles of my feet, baptize me in your Spirit. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. To God be the glory. Men, don't forget about it.
This concludes this message. Thank you for listening. For more information about this ministry, please look us up at www.arenaoflifechurch.org or contact the church office at 806-622-8000.